Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to take this time to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have an extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our regular meeting times of our meetings at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of our worship periods or Bible study periods. You'll always be warmly received. It is our desire to help you understand the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and be with us. We are continuing our discussion on the doctrine of sin. This morning, we're going to begin a new part of our study in looking at the subject of the atonement for sin. To begin with this morning, we want to read from the book of Leviticus, chapter number 17, and verses 10 through 16. Leviticus, chapter 17, verses 10 through verse 16. And whatever man of the house of Israel or the stranger who dwell among you, who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells with you eat blood. Whatever man or child of Israel, or the stranger or who dwells among you, who hunts and catches any animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore I say to the children of Israel, you shall not eat blood or any flesh of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is in its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. And every person who eats what dies naturally or what is torn from beasts, whether it is native or whether your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Then he shall be clean. But if he does not wash, then bathe his body, then he shall bear his guilt. Notice in Leviticus 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. There is a connection in the Bible between blood and atonement. In the text, the blood under consideration is that of an animal sacrifice, as instituted under the law of Moses. There were offered by the high priest on the Day of Atonement, which came once a year in Leviticus 16, 29 through 30, which occurred on the 10th day of the 7th month. Yet, this blood was not sufficient in order to forgive sins. How do I know that? I know that from the writing of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make them who approach perfect. For them would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshiper, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sin. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of goats and bulls could take away sin. So you see, even the animal sacrifices, it put them in line, put them in a position of gaining forgiveness, but true forgiveness could not be obtained through the bloods of animals. We must look beyond this time to the perfect sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ, which would be the atonement for the sins, not only of our sins, but of the sins of the world. God's sacrificial system spanned the centuries between the blood of those animals and the perfect blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. His offering was made as He died on the cross. He was resurrected and offered that atoning blood for our sins before the very throne of God. In Hebrews the 9th chapter, verse 11. But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of the goats and the calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, once and for all, having obtained an eternal redemption. For if the blood of the bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of the Christ, through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, it was that blood that was offered on behalf of the sins of the world that was accepted by the Father. The Bible speaks of the blood atonement of Jesus, a fact many modernists deny. The Bible is clear on this subject, and the sins of men cannot be neutralized apart from blood atonement. Let us look at the word atonement. There is no agreement on the original meaning of the Hebrew word. The general understanding seems to be the term originally meant to cover, in the sense of expiating or placating. It may mean to effect reconciliation by some conduct or course of action. We know that sin separates a man from God. We know that because the scriptures teach that in the prophecy of Isaiah, in Isaiah the 59th chapter, in the very first two verses of that chapter, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Notice that sin separates a man from God. Therefore, reconciliation is needed in order for a man to be right with God. Here is how it worked under the old law. Sin was committed. The blood of an animal was offered to cover or atone for that sin, and so removing it from the view of God. This demands a sacrificial system that God put in motion in the beginning under the law of Moses. The word is found in the New Testament but once. And not only that we also rejoice in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. In the King James Version of this verse, in Romans 5 and 11, the word is atonement instead of reconciliation. Hence, the Greek word used here is not a precise equivalent to the Hebrew thought. We see this concept of covering in the Hebrew is not to be found in the New Testament usage of the word. The great atoning work of Christ must be expressed in other ways. Vine says, hints of persons to change from enmity to friendship to reconcile. And that's what he did. He reconciled sinful man back to God. He did that through the atonement that was given and undertaken through his blood. In the Old Testament, in Genesis 4 and verse 10, Abel's blood was uncovered, and it cried out to God. Sin had committed. God's law has been violated. Cain was now apart from God by his own action of envy and jealousy that led him to murder. It stood out before God, and for no atonement had been offered in order to cover it. Even animal blood was to be covered after a hunt, according to Leviticus 17:13, that we just read a few moments ago. Uncovered blood symbolized that expectation that the blood had not been made. Job felt that his blood was covered. No vindication would be made, Job 16:18. If his blood were covered, his enemies would not be punished. Ezekiel used this ideal to speak to Israel's blood waiting to be avenged in Ezekiel 24:6-8. Instead, it laid upon the top of the rock, waiting to be avenged by God. The wickedness of the city of Jerusalem laid there exposed, as it were, until such time as God avenged the blood that she had shed because of her disobedience. In Isaiah 26:21, clearly states that the reason for God coming in judgment upon the wicked there is because of the blood that was on their hands. In Numbers 35:30-40, murder was a common thing. There was one thing that satisfied God in the case of murder, and asked the blood of the murderer was to be shed. Blood for blood. In Isaiah 38, verse 17, here the term covered is not used, but sin would be cast behind the back of God, so hiding it from his view, therefore bringing reconciliation possible. Thus, the predominant view in the Old Testament involves the hiding of sin from the view of God, to cover it, to hide it. And the blood of animals temporarily did that in order to atone for the misconduct and the sin that was committed under the old law. Concepts related to atonement in the Old Testament. One such term is reconciliation. Reconciliation was needed because of sin, according to Leviticus 6 and verse 30. When God gave the law to Moses, he regulated the sacrificial system contained within. And where there is a sacrifice, sin must be the factor that has made it necessary that such sacrifice be offered. There was a sin offering on behalf of the priest in Leviticus 8:15. Even Aaron and his priesthood were not immune to sin. They also stood in need of atonement for their own sin. Reconciliation was connected with the matter of the scapegoat. Let us read in a passage in Leviticus chapter 16 that took place on the Day of Atonement. This was a special day that happened once a year where the high priest was going into the most holy place. And in Leviticus chapter 16, beginning in verse number 20. And when he made an atoning of the holy place, the tabernacle meeting and the altar, you shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it the iniquities of the children of Israel, all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all the iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he will be released, the goat, in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, shall take off the linen garments that he put on when he went out of the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, come out with his other burnt offering and burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar. And he who released the goat at the scapegoat shall wash his clothes, bathe in water, his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn it with fire, their skins, their flesh, and their offal. Then he shall burn them all, shall wash his clothes, and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. This is the ritual and the requirements of the Day of Atonement, that was to take all the sin and carry them away from God. This was a shadow of what would be done literally by the death of Jesus upon the cross. He would not figuratively carry them away in the wilderness. He would wash them completely away and remove them by his blood, the pure, sinless blood of Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for listening today as we begin this discussion on the atonement for sin. We hope you'll tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue looking at the subject of the atonement for sin.